Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Got some Thursday night action rolling your way, too. And getting ready for Saturday in the SEC. And the Georgia Bulldogs taking on the Kentucky Wildcats. Georgia Tech taking on the Miami Hurricanes in the ACC. Georgia State at home in what might well be a sold-out Georgia State Stadium in their game against Army. And you're going to start seeing Georgia State, we mentioned this earlier in the week, get more and more bigger name teams coming into Atlanta to play them at Georgia State Stadium. They've got North Carolina coming in a few years. So you're going to see some bigger teams come on down to play Georgia State, and it's going to be fun to see that program grow as they get other teams in.
Yeah, a short period of time, they're starting to be a bona fide program. So that's going to be pretty exciting.
Kennesaw State on the road this week taking on Presbyterian, and we'll keep our eyes on the Owls because my daughter and my money go to KSU. When it comes to the Georgia Dogs, obviously it goes without saying, but we'll say it anyway, they got to win out, okay? If you're going to make the playoffs, they have to win out. That has to start this week. They are heavy favorites at home against a Kentucky squad that a lot of people, Hugh, think that they're going to beat 38-10, but we've been down this road before with people thinking they were going to blow out Notre Dame or even beat South Carolina. They didn't perform at home in those two games, and now it's a question of, perform to the standard that we thought they would perform.
Yeah, wake-up call, if you will. I think it's a little bit of wake-up call. Yeah, do I think they're going to beat Kentucky? Yeah, can't see for the life of me Georgia dropping two games in a row like that. Can't see it. I think that this team has refocused, and they're ready to go. Bread and butter. Got to go back to the running game. Got to do that. I think Jake Fromm last week threw 51 passes. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot to ask him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the history of him so far since he's been here, it's been pretty consistent, the run-pass ratio over the last two seasons. So I think you need to get back to that solid running game. Don't get too cute. Just do what you do. Do what you got to, what you say, running backs coming out of the gas station or whatever. Coach Mason said a few years ago, just do what you do. Run the ball, bread and butter, and throw it when you have to.
Right, and this morning I was kind of looking around, and I noticed right before the show that collegefootballnews.com had done one of these rankings that normally, just as a casual fan, I'll look at. I'm not been inclined to necessarily bring them up because I wonder how much people really care about these. But it's a mid-season ranking of all the coaches, 1 through 130, for college football this year. Now, again, we're not talking about, for example, Nick Saban is ranked 10th. Obviously, Nick Saban is the number one coach in the country, okay? We're not talking about the body of work. We're just talking about straight this year. And so they rank all the coaches 1 through 130 at the middle of the season, who's done the best job and who's done the worst job. For example, Hugh, the number 130 worst job has been done by the two coaches that have been at Rutgers because Rutgers has been so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Number 129, the second worst coach in America so far, just based on this year, Chip Kelly at UCLA.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, I can too. Yeah. You could almost make a case of number 130. Even what were the expectations of Rutgers? What's the expectation of Chip Kelly at UCLA in terms of his ability to turn that program around, right? Okay. So number one was Paul Chryst at Wisconsin, because people thought Wisconsin might be good this year, but not great. But look at what they've done. And so they say Paul Chryst has done the best job of any coach so far this season. Ed Orgeron at LSU is number two. Again, people thought LSU would be good, but look at what Orgeron's done with that LSU team.
Yeah, especially you look at the way he got the job and what people thought that, you know, like there was a time where they thought that they got the wrong guy, you know. And now it looks like, you know, they're bona fide. Look like they're a bona fide legit squad now. Joe Burrow might be a legit Heisman candidate. So, yeah, he's done a good job with that program.
And number three, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. Again, taking Jalen Hurts and reinventing him into a Heisman candidate, a legit Heisman candidate. He might win it with what he's doing. Reinventing Jalen Hurts into Kyler Murray, part two. Number four, Ryan Day at Ohio State, taking over for Urban Meyer, leading Ohio State the way he has, turning Justin Fields into, who knows, a Heisman winner. Number five, how about Gus Malzahn at Auburn? You know, and you can make a case. I mean, Gus has done a great
job. Impressive. Yeah. Pretty impressive from the beginning of the season till now. Pretty impressive job, no question.
And notable because, you know, Auburn still has a brutal schedule going forward. And
yeah, they got a gauntlet. They got to run the gauntlet.
All the Auburn fans who wanted Gus Malzahn fired at the end of last year. And then they go in before the Florida game and they're going, oh, we love you, Gus. And they're, you know, they're so excited about the start of the season. Now, if they fight, Hugh, if they go down, got to the ski slope door, if they have a couple more losses before the end of the year, they're going to be back on the fire. Gus will go out from fire to sign him forever to fire.
That is the pressure. John, that's the pressure of college football. No question about it. We're talking about, you know, to lose two games during the college football season, that's unacceptable now. You have to damn near be perfect in order to just be considered. Two losses is the death knell. So, yeah, that's always been the pressure of being a college football coach.
Yeah, because Auburn still has to play LSU, and they still have to play Georgia, and they still have to play Alabama. And they still got to play their bowl game. So we'll see what happens with Auburn going forward. And again, Auburn's got a great defense, and Bo Nix is just a young quarterback. And we'll see what they've got. Now, having said that, okay, so those are your top five. Again, Paul Chryst and Ed Orgeron and Lincoln Riley and Ryan Day and Gus Malzahn. And yes, Saban comes in at number 10. And again, it's not a body of work thing, okay? It's just, look, expectations were for Alabama to be, you know, the killer team. And they may still be. By the way, Crimson Tide fans don't have to get in your feelings here. They may still be. But I did notice that where does Kirby Smart rank? So I start looking down the list. You know, where is Kirby Smart on this list? This year, coaches, he's number 39. And there are a lot of fans who have been in their feelings about Kirby Smart, Hugh. And he comes in at number 39.
In their feelings about what? What, before this year?
No, they're just right now they're going, hey, listen, you're not achieving what we expected you to achieve. You know, you were supposed to kill Notre Dame. You didn't. You're not supposed to lose to South Carolina. Yeah, this is the year you were supposed to take that big leap and be the national champion, which, by the way, they still could be. But College Football News saying, hey, yeah, you know, Kirby, at number 39, they're saying Kirby Smart needs to do a better job.
I don't even know. Like, for me, that I don't know how we can sit here, like, with everything still in front of us as Georgia Bulldog fans, could be giving Kirby Smart all that heat now. I had some questions after the Notre Dame game, and basically I was told that it's because you're saving your best stuff for later. Now, I have seen some people say that. Now, people are in the feelings about the way, especially the way, you know, it was some play where they pulled up and saying that, you know, Jay Fromm could have ran the quarterback sneak on this play and ran for a couple more yards and all this other stuff. Hindsight is 20/20 when it comes to coaching. And that's why coaches go through the film and they look at all the mistakes that they're made. But to have a loss against South Carolina like this, and then all of a sudden to have everybody questioning everything that Coach Smart has done up until this point, even though everything is still ahead of you, to me just blows my mind. But, again, I understand that that is the pressure that most college programs are under. But I think it's a little bit premature because until Coach Smart is mathematically removed from the college football playoff discussion, nothing is a given. There's a lot of one-loss teams. There's a lot of undefeated teams that aren't even in the top 20 right now. Thinking about Minnesota, I forgot where they're ranked right now, but I don't think they're in the top 20, not the top 25. But this story is not written yet. This story has not been written. And for everybody to be all up in their feelings right now over a one-loss South Carolina, I think it's a little bit premature. I really, really do. And it's a little irritating, too.
And South Carolina has a chance to really put a stamp on what would be a remarkable 2 weeks by hosting Florida this week. And we'll get into that in just a minute and the ramifications of what happens with that. All right, it's 9 minutes after the hour. That means first code word of the day and your chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
flower, F-L-O-W. F-L-O-W-E-R. Flower to 72881. Text flower to 72881. Again, the code word for the national signing bonus is flower, F-L-O-W-E-R, to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Complete rules, 929thegame.com/rules. Text flower to 72881. Hopefully you win $1,000. And the national signing bonus code word of the hour is flower. A little flower power to you if you win $1,000 with flower. We're talking about college football. South Carolina, Hugh, could pull off quite the double that would throw the SEC East into almost disarray, not the least of which is that there's Missouri out there. Now, at the moment, Missouri is unbeaten in conference play. At the moment, okay, Missouri is ineligible to win the East and to play in the conference championship game because of NCAA sanctions. Now, they're appealing. I don't think I've heard the appeal outcome yet. What if they win? What if they all of a sudden they win the appeal? And so the SEC race is kind of topsy-turvy, and what South Carolina could do by beating Florida is throw everybody kind of into a mixer.
Well, I would say to that, with what we know about the NCAA, I don't think that Missouri's appeal is going to be granted, number one. And I'm not worried about Missouri since they're not a factor in this because they're not bowl eligible, number two. That would be my argument for that. And as far as South Carolina playing against Florida this weekend, I don't think Florida's going to overlook South Carolina like some people feel Georgia did. I don't think they're going to do that. The one thing we know about the SEC that's a fact is that from top to bottom, any given Saturday, when you play any of these teams, anything could potentially happen. And with that being said, Florida's going to go in there, and they're going to be ready to play. That defense for Florida, when you talk about stuff that travels well, defense travels well, especially when you talk about the physical way that they get after it and the physical way that they play. Florida's not going to be caught slipping against South Carolina.
How about for Will Muschamp? He beats his old school 1 week, and, of course, he used to be the head coach at Florida. That would be an amazing double for him. That would be like get back, if he could do that, to beat Florida and Georgia in back-to-back weeks for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And, of course, let's remember now, South Carolina already played Alabama, okay, and they've got a chance here because they're going to be playing Clemson coming up. Just saying. We said that, you know, at the beginning of the year, we said there were two teams, Texas A&M and South Carolina, that were going to play all three of the highly rated teams, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, right? And I said one of those two teams is going to – one of those games is going to get got. Well, it turned – I didn't think it would be South Carolina, Georgia.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be Texas A&M that get one of them.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case. That wasn't the case.
Will Jalen Ramsey play on Sunday? I guess he might if he's healthy. All right, come on. Was he really ever hurt? We're going to have to ask our injury expert, Will Carroll, about this.
It took me a minute. Injury. He was holding hands, and I like the band playing. I like that. And it's homecoming weekend for Clark. Shout out to everybody that's in town for Clark, Atlanta. Homecoming weekend. That should be what the kids like to say, lit. Make sure you drink responsibly.
Shapeless one. We'll get to the late vodka segment coming up later in the hour. Next up, though, Will Carroll, our injury expert, after a CBS Sports Minute. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios on this Thursday. Falcons get set for the L.A. Rams. Our coverage begins with the Wait For It tailgate show. You and Andy coming up Sunday morning, 9 a.m. there on Northside Drive. If you ever been over to the Wait For It tailgate, you need to go because it is a great time. 9 in the morning, way to kick off your day, and that'll lead us, of course, to the Bud Light countdown to kick off at 11 with Harry and Paul. And then, of course, the call of the game, 1 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Let's welcome into the program now Will Carroll, who is our injury expert. He is the brand manager for Modus Global. He is a columnist for BetQL, and he is the guy with all of the answers when it comes to the injuries, including the fake injury. I didn't say that, but we think might not be true injuries. How about that? Hey, Will.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Will, what do you think about this miraculous recovery by Jalen Ramsey in this back issue that he's been having? Is that like a serious heating pad or something?
That California lifestyle lets you loosen up immediately. You can't use medical marijuana in the NFL, so that joke is thrown away. Really what this was, honestly, back injuries are one of those things that most players are dealing with some soreness. We've all woken up in the morning and felt our back tighten up and say, you know what, I still got to go to work. Granted, we're not doing what Jalen Ramsey does. But was Ramsey using a minor injury as a piece of leverage? Yeah, absolutely. The rules say you have to say it. If he says it, if there's a question of his availability, something has to be listed. It does have to be medically backed, so there's a doctor actually signing off on those. So is it fake? No. Was it serious? No. Has it suddenly cleared up now that he's got a lot of money? Yes.
Yeah, all things are true. I mean, I guess, Will, there are injuries that you could, if you so desired, you could fake, right?
Not really. You know, the official injury report really has nothing to do with injuries. That's one of the things people don't understand. It's about availability. The injury report, as it's titled, is really for gambling. You know, it's whether or not a guy is going to play. If we didn't have this, and, you know, that would essentially mean gamblers could go out and maybe get information other people doesn't have. So the NFL puts it out in a standard format. Can you fake an injury? It's awful tough to do because, again, you actually have to have a doctor sign off on it. It's not like Major League Baseball where you really can't at this stage because of the way they handle the injured list. So, no, you really can't. I mean, take a look at Tom Brady. He's been on the injury list almost every week of his career just because they like to do it that way.
We're talking with Will Carroll. Will, I want to go over here for a second because you brought something up that made me curious. Now, with the NBA and NHL and Major League Baseball and NFL, they're all embracing gambling to the point where you're going to have, you know, betting windows at Soldier Field, for crying out loud. College athletics doesn't have the rules regarding – college football doesn't have the rules regarding – or basketball – regarding what the NFL does. We'll just leave it at football. In terms of having to come out with the injury report, they can be a lot more, you know, vague. But is this going to be a requirement now that maybe as, you know, the Big Ten or the SEC or somebody gets into, you know, these big deals with injuries that they're going to have to come out with some kind of a, I guess, a legitimate injury report every Wednesday?
Yeah, you would certainly hope so. There's been some resistance to this, and what people forget is the NCAA is just the colleges. The conferences are just the colleges, and they've resisted this, which is dumb. They're essentially professional teams. They've got more personnel in most cases. You'd like to see some sort of standard format, and that's been my big worry, is that the SEC would have one, and the PAC whatever is going to have another. You would like to see the NCAA come in and do that. I think what's going to end up is that the sort of the integrity of the sport thing is going to come through. I don't think at this stage we're going to see it, but there are, especially on some of those lower end games, if you're looking into Appalachian State, there's some money to be made if you know something that somebody else doesn't because, hey, the bet's the same.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking to Will Carroll, injury expert, brand manager for Modus Global. What about Jordan Reed? Do you think he's done playing in the NFL?
Concussions are a tough one because, you know, if Jordan Reed walked by, he'd look like he was fine. He's had so many. One is bad, but it's just tough because think of this like a chef cutting their finger. You know, it happens. It's an occupational hazard. You don't like it. Sometimes you get a bad one. Sometimes you just wrap it up and you go right back to it. But nobody says, oh, you've cut your finger seven times. Should you stop cooking? With concussions, it's the same sort of thing. The brain does heal. Granted, we don't know anything, or at least not very much, about the long-term consequences. But the brain, muscles, the skin, they all heal the same way. The body regenerates in ways, though it's not entirely the same. So if you recover from a concussion, if you go through the proper treatment and allow it to heal, you're pretty much as good as new. Multiple concussions start to get worrisome, again, because of the long-term concerns. But this is going to come down to a personal decision. Does Jordan Reed want to do this anymore? And should he do this? Because concussions aren't recurrent. What you get is a concussion, and then you clear up, and then you get a concussion again. It's just like with a chef. They cut their finger another time. It really had nothing to do with the first time, but you kept using a knife. So Jordan Reed is doing something, running, maybe not protecting his head, that is allowing him to have these over and over and over. So it comes down to a personal decision.
Will Carroll's our injury expert. He's brand manager for Modus Global. and a columnist for BetQL, and he joins us live this morning. Hey, well, Desmond Trufant's got a toe injury. The exact kind of injury and the severity we're not sure about, but it sounds like he's not going to play again this week. Just looking at position players, taking kickers out of the equation, I was thinking there may be no position in all of football that's more reliant on having a healthy feet than being at cornerback, because you could probably hide – you can hide an injury, you know, a toe injury in other positions by adjusting to it. But a cornerback, where you've got to have the quickest feet of anybody, that seems to be problematic.
Dead on, dead on. And this week, more than any we've ever seen, at least in the time we have records for, cornerbacks are more hurt than ever. The percentage, as you guys in Atlanta have seen, is higher than we've ever seen in the last 20 years that I've been doing this. So there's something going on in general. For Trufant, in all likelihood, this is turf toe. And we're seeing a little bit of an uptick in turf toe this year, a little bit of a downtick in major knee injuries. We don't really know why. The NFL doesn't track that sort of thing. But turf toe is painful. Turf toe is problematic. And as you said, a cornerback, you can't adjust to, with a guy like Devontae Adams. When he comes back, he might not cut one direction because that foot is still problematic. You can't do that with a cornerback. So Trufant likely out again this week. And turf toe, really painful and really lingers.
Sports Radio 929 again. We're talking to my man, Real Care, injury expert, brand manager for Modus Global. Guy that here in Atlanta that we're kind of worried about because, you know, we need to get to the quarterback. And he has a groin injury now. And we need to know if that's going to – how much is that going to affect him getting to the quarterback? Tack McKinley, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, groin strains are tough because, first off, painful. They're in an area that is very tender. But for a guy like McKinley, especially going up the middle, if you think about it in your head, he's running in a straight line. It's never a straight line unless they really screwed up the block. He's getting pushed. He's getting knocked around. So he's having to make, even if he's trying to go in a straight line to the quarterback, he's having to make lateral adjustments all the time. He's having to push back. He's having to go against the guy. He's going to be knocked off balance. Somebody's going to be on the other side. So if he can't move laterally, then he can't move. That's going to be the problem for him. He's not one of those big, giant guys who can just sit in the middle and take up space. He's got to be able to move. He's an athletic defensive tackle. This one's really problematic, and they're going to be working on it all week long. So it's just not a comfortable place to work.
Will Carroll joining us. Real quick, Will, final thing on the Rams and Falcons game. Todd Gurley returning back. Certainly would love to play again in Mercedes-Benz Stadium and make a mark here in Georgia. Now it's a quad for him. Even if he can go, is it going to limit what Todd Gurley can be in this game?
No. He's just he had a quad contusion, and he wasn't close to 100%. He just simply couldn't get much push off, and that's obviously a big deal for him with those big, powerful legs. It's cleared up. He just needed more time, so he should be ready to go. And he should get his probably 50% split of the touches.
All right. Well, we expect now, I guess, from Will Carroll that Todd Gurley is going to be at full health. So we'll see on that. Will, as always, a pleasure. Thanks very much for
Thanks
jumping into the program.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Will Carroll, our injury expert every week, so expect Todd Gurley to be 100%. Man, that could be a show too, Hugh. I mean, that you want to get Jared Goff going? Why did he have 78 yards last week? No Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley changes the equation.
Yeah, I mean, but it doesn't matter. You got to win a football game, and regardless of who it's against, you got to get that done.
Rundown says, Hughes World.
Yes, we talk about something that happened yesterday where fans are going too far. I'm getting ready to go to the dentist, but I'm having a little bit of anxiety about going. I'll tell you that about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Played football 10 years in the NFL, so when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World is brought to you by Georgia's own Lit Ultra Premium Vodka, the smoothest vodka in the game. Get lit and live it today. Now, I was trolling my Twitter feed yesterday, and I saw a story on there that really grabbed my attention. It was about my man Myles Garrett, and I want to give him a little shout-out right now. Because yesterday, Myles Garrett, I guess he was at a light somewhere, as the story goes. He's sitting at a traffic light, and a fan asked him for a picture. So he obliged. He said he rolled the window down, and the fan proceeded to take the picture. And then, hopped, you know, he hopped out of the car to take a picture. and he actually squared up and punched him in the face. Like, the fan actually punched him in the face. And he said he called it a pillow tap. He said he would probably would have been, like, you know, taken aback if he would have actually put his, you know, put his legs into it and probably would have hurt him a little bit. But the thing that I want to commend him about this story is that Myles Garrett did not from the reports, he did not retaliate. He did not retaliate. And I commend him for that, because that would have not been the story if he would have retaliated. The story would have been the fact that Myles Garrett beat up a fan, even though the fan hit him first. So like I said, I want to give him a shout out for that, man, because so many times, you know, in a situation like that, as a human being, we'll just react, knee-jerk reaction. And he didn't do that. He showed some restraint, and he took the high ground. So I want to commend him for that. But today is finally the day. I know I talked about it a few weeks ago, talked about the fact that I'm a tooth grinder, been grinding my teeth to the point where I have to go get veneers. And I'm a little apprehensive about this. I'm not going to lie, for a number of reasons. I mean, we've seen people that have gotten these teeth before, and they look like horse teeth. And that's my biggest fear. And I know, even though I have talked to the dentist on more than once, and they told me that that's not going to be the case. They're doing a better job of that, because they've actually taken teeth impressions of mine and said that we're just going to, you know, bring your teeth back to where they're supposed to be. And we're going to, you know, just make them, you know, so that you won't, you know, grind them anymore. So that means I probably have to sleep with a mouthpiece on and all this other stuff. That wasn't good enough for me. Like, that was one of the main reasons why I decided to go back home to go to homecoming. Because if you know anything about family, nothing's off limits when it comes to family. So I just wanted to go home and give them the heads up that I was going to go get some veneers. And as you all know, like, that's where the jokes ensue, because everybody has their jokes about, like, having chiclets in your mouth and all this other stuff. So I just wanted to make sure that before I actually went out and did this procedure, that I got everybody prepared for this, because the jokes are going to come. And there was no different. Like, I told my friends that I was going to have this procedure done this week, and they were talking about, you know, I'm not going to have enough lips to close my mouth because my teeth are going to be so big and things of that nature, and how they're going to be like ultra white, and I'm going to be smiling. Like, I ain't going to be able to do nothing to smile because my teeth are going to be so big in my mouth. So I'm a little bit worried about that. But I'm also kind of excited.
I have veneers before. I didn't notice it that bad. I mean, all my teeth are crowned now, but it's sort of like getting crowns.
Yeah, but the process of getting the veneers, I have to go in there today, and they have to cut. They have to actually, you know, saw my teeth out, like with a saw. They're gonna have to saw my teeth down to like little nubs, and then put the veneers on top of them. I don't know how I feel about all that, man. I mean, because now it's like, I feel like I'm going to be the Terminator somebody. I'm not going to be the same person. and you know, my teeth have gotten to the point now where they look all right in my mouth now, because I've kind of ground them down. What are they supposed to look like? And what they're supposed to look like is a lot bigger than what my teeth are now. That's going to be kind of weird. That's going to be like super weird. Okay, here we go. Somebody got something to say for the peanut gallery. I just was asked a question from the peanut gallery, because we don't have mics. What's the hardest, the offensive lineman or teeth? What'd you say, the teeth? What's scarier, offensive lineman or getting these teeth? I would probably say the Jones factor is the teeth. Because I'm going to be, like, if I come back and my teeth are too big, what's going to happen is this. I'm going to walk in the building, and I'm just going to get, nobody's going to say anything directly towards me. They're going to talk about me behind my back, and they're going to get a lot of snickers. Like, there's going to be a lot of, that's a good one. They say they're going to call me Teeth Sweat. that's a pretty good one. Like, you know, you don't understand. Like, being a chocolate dude and come in, and if your teeth are, like, way too white, like, if they're super white, like, that's something that you're going to notice, like, right off the rip. And if they're super white and they're super big, oh, man, people are going to kill me, man. You know what? The more I think about this, I'm going to go ahead and hold off on this for a little while, because I don't know. Like, I got thick skin. But to be in a situation where I'm ridiculed by everybody that is not going to say, I'm just going to get on the elevator, it's going to be like that care move. They're all going to laugh at you. Everybody's going to be laughing at me because I'm like, boy, look how big his teeth are. I just don't want that to be the case, man. And I know that the doctor has told me on more than one case. This has been a conversation that I've had with the doc. Mm-hmm. They said, it's going to be okay, Mr. Douglas. We got you.
It is going to be
okay. I don't know you like that. How I know you got me? How I know you got me? I don't know if you got me like that.
It's going to be okay.
I don't know, man. I'm a little nervous. Because today, they're going to put the whole, like, the way she talking, they're going to put the whole bottom grill in today. Like she said, we're going to need a couple hours. A couple hours for what? Because they got to saw the teeth down. Man, I don't know how I feel about that. And then, how are they going to do it? Are they going to have, like, all the little pieces of teeth in their hand and they're going to put them in there, like, each individual tooth? Because I don't want that row. I need my teeth to be individual. Yeah, I want some sunflower seeds in my mouth. I don't want like a row of teeth that I can't, you know. I don't want that because that looks weird too.
You mean like a bridge?
Yeah, I don't want a bridge. Yeah, I don't want a bridge.
You're not getting a bridge.
So they're gonna give me a bunch of little chiclets. Like I'm gonna have chiclets in my mouth at the end of the day. Some bottom chiclets. So if you see me and I don't smile, it's not that I don't like you, it's because I don't want you laughing at my teeth. Cause this is the process. I do like people. Most of them. That's all I got.
Yeah, but don't sweat it. You're going to be fine.
No, I'm going to sweat it. You don't understand.
The ridicule is real. But I do. I've been down the road before.
Yeah,
I mean,
but John, that's because, you know what? They're not your real friends because they didn't laugh at you in your face. Like, my friends are going to, like, they're going to laugh at me in the face. Like, that's tough. That's going to be a tough one. But good times. It's going to be, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going now. I'm a little nervous. I got to be there at 10:30, so I got like 10 minutes to make a decision.
Well, I did it for television because virtually everybody that's on TV has fake teeth.
I don't have to do television. I do radio. But I want to have a nice smile. I do want to have that. I just don't want to be a nice smile that, like, when I smile, it just blinds people and my teeth are big. And it look like I've been, you know, got chiclets in my big old chiclets. I don't want none of that. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Andy, Randy make you smile.
Really? Teeth sweat.
Coming up top of the hour, midday show. They're back in there debating on Kirby Smart, too. On Sports Radio 92 on the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.